see what we're doing there. If your kids want to go to college, I guess ever, the question is, how is the COVID-19 circumstance going to affect that outcome? And Amy Thompson is joining us right now. Amy, we have been waiting to talk to you. You're a college and career counselor at York Community High School and president of the Illinois Association of College Admissions Counseling. And I cannot imagine how, I know how crazy parents can be about their kids going to college. The only people crazier are people about to get married. You know, you got the bride and groomzillas. But kids, yeah. Kids who are, you know, I mean, we've seen it. People are going to prison for trying to get their kids into college, right? So that's there's a whole thing going on here. But now it's a total mess. Let's start with the testing, because this is the thing that keeps changing. And if you'd like, if you've got kids who are trying to get to college, 312-981-7200. Amy can answer questions for you as well. 312-981-7200. Any questions you have along the way here, because I know people do. Okay, ACT, SAT. Obviously, this spring, a lot of those things have been canceled. How does that impact?
So, you know, there's a combination of things going on. Colleges have been pretty responsive right away. A number of colleges have already announced that they're going to be test optional for the fall for the first time. There were some, a good number of schools who had already gone that way based on their own sort of institutional research, deciding that really test scores weren't telling them that much about whether students would be successful on their campus. But with this challenge of students being able to take the test and potentially being able to take it more than once, because we all know that most kids do better if they get taken more than once, a lot of colleges have responded and have gone test optional for this fall. Some have committed for at least a couple of years. To look at the data and see what it tells them. So that's a growing trend. ACT and SAT both also have responded. SAT just recently announced that they will be offering the SAT in September, August, September, October, and I think November, and maybe even December, so at least once a month in the fall. And they've also announced they're going to be doing online testing, and ACT seems to be announcing some of the same kinds of things. So lots of moving parts.
Yes. So what in terms of the applications, though, the parents are always going to think, well, if I'm not going, if my kid isn't getting into the earliest possible testing, if we're taking advantage of whatever their options, these especially highly competitive schools are offering, we're still going to end up at the back of the pack. Is that true?
No. I mean, if the school is test optional, then, you know, that means a student can submit a score if they have one that they wish to share, but that they don't have to. And the colleges are going to, you know, do a holistic review. They would anyway, especially highly selective schools. There's a whole bunch of stuff they're looking at. But, you know, they'll take it all in context. They understand that this is super complicated time, you know, obviously in 100 years, right? For ever since standardized testing has existed anyway, that students, you know, may or may not be able to actually physically take the test. So they don't want to put those students at a disadvantage. So, they'll absolutely just take everything. They'll look much more closely, obviously, at the curriculum the students have taken, the grades that they've earned, the grade trends, things like that.
But how important were SAT, ACTs all along? Are we now learning that they really weren't that important for the schools? Were the schools just trying to respond to the stress that induces with people and trying to be a little, look like they're more friendly, but they really still want them and need them?
Sure. I mean, I think it's changing over time. I do know this is my 21st year as a counselor. So when I first started, I think there were definitely some schools that relied very heavily on the test scores as an indicator of success. I think kids have changed. I think testing has changed. And so the more institutions are looking at that, and I do, again, one of the things you allude to is like rankings, right? You know, having a higher average test score gets you a better ranking. So I do think some of those external pressures are part of it as well. But I do, I think over time, the colleges have started to understand that oftentimes standardized test scores don't necessarily really tell you that much about an applicant. It might tell you more about how well-resourced they are, you know, how much money they have for test prep, that kind of thing, than it does about their actual academic ability.
Right. Amy Thompson is joining us. She is a college counselor. As a matter of fact, she has this distinction. She is the president of the Illinois Association of College Admission Counseling. So that's if you have a kid who is scheduled by you to go to college, whether they're a rising junior, obviously rising seniors, that those are the most, that's the big group that we're talking to right now, because that's, this is where the testing is all starting, and you've got the trips for this summer. And then right now, let's just talk about the people who are seniors, parents who've got kids who are seniors or seniors right now, and they're getting letters from the right now, right? April 15th was always the time that you were, that people were going to find out whether they got in or they didn't get in, or they're deferred, and they'll find out if they're going to, you know, be picked up by the middle of May or whatever it is.
Most students receive those, by the end of March.
Right.
Yeah.
So what goes on there now? What are the universities telling the in the range of responses that these parents are getting and these students are getting, what should they take from them?
Well, I mean, right now colleges are still planning to go forward and have, you know, classes as usual in the fall. Obviously, I think we're all hoping that things will be somewhat more normal by then. And so students and families need to plan accordingly. And if they, you know, as a family decide they're concerned it won't be normal and it might not be a good fit for their child to go away or to go and be doing online courses that might not be a good fit for their student, then they have to start making decisions about, you know, what makes more sense. But financial aid packaging obviously comes with those admission decisions. And I think right now for a lot of people that the most pressing issues are the very fast changes they're having in their family in terms of finances, right? Families that may have had investments that they knew where they were going to use to help pay for college now may not be worth as much, and they're very concerned about those things. People who've lost their jobs, you know, those kinds of things. So I think financial aid right now is the biggest concern. A lot of families are, you know, reaching out to the colleges, the college that they would like to go to, trying to see if they can get more aid. Colleges are facing a problem because they're going to have a lot more people who want aid, and then of course their investments have dropped as well, so they may not have as much funding as they've had to fund. So that's probably the most pressing issue. May 1st is that universal, you know, decision day where everyone's supposed to commit to a four-year college to save their spot. Many colleges have announced that they will delay that until June 1st. And even those who haven't made the universal decision to delay are saying, look, if you have a circumstance, reach out to us. They want to talk to the students and the families, you know, directly.
I guess, Amy, the question a lot of parents have, if their kids are on the edge of getting into their top choice, do they have a better chance getting into their top choice right now because there is so much confusion if they're right on the edge of the, you know, whatever those requirements would be?
Well, they all would know whether or not they're in at this point. There shouldn't be any more highly selective schools with decisions that are waiting, but they could have been waitlisted. And so we do have, obviously, I've talked to some of my students that have been waitlisted schools, and if it's a school that they're really interested in, they should let that school know that they are definitely interested, maybe write something about their continued interest. But in the end, the colleges are going to have to see who commits, and then where are they after they've got enough commitments and enough no's, you know, can we now go to the waitlist? And that happens every year. The question, I think that colleges probably have waitlisted more students this year, knowing they may have to go deeper into the wait list because of the changing financial situations, or even just being far from home, parents might be more worried about, right? So, I know for a fact some of these schools have definitely given a larger pool of waitlist candidates. So those students are now in limbo at the waitlist schools. I always tell a student if they're waitlisted, they still need to make a commitment to the school they would go to if this waitlist never happened, right? They need to make a commitment to that school so they have a spot. Yeah.
Amy, I'd just like to say I'm still on the waitlist at Williams. Even like 30 years on.
They're going test optional in the fall. It's a big deal.
Maybe this is an opportunity for me to sneak my kid into Harvard who otherwise wouldn't have qualified. So let's go to the phones at 312-981-7200. Here's Mary. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, I had a question about the visits. We were going to do visits during spring break and in the summer, and everything is canceled. This is for a junior.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of colleges have scrambled and have really ramped up their virtual opportunities. So if you go to a college's admission site, you should be able to find information there about a variety of options at every campus, from sort of large group information sessions, virtual tours of campus. They have things often set up with specific departments to, you know, talk with staff and faculty from that department. So, yeah, colleges have really quickly, and I know because I'm of our association, I work with a lot of them, and they've put in some very, very long hours over the past few weeks to scramble to try and transition all those visit programs that they had expected you guys, right, to be able to see things virtually and to reach out and talk to students and connect with families over the phone, through Zoom meetings, things like that.
So let's talk about
that. What about athletic recruiting?
Yeah, coaches are still able to contact students as they have in the past based on NCAA rules. I know that I've had students contacting me for unofficial transcripts so that they can send those to coaches. So it appears that coaches are continuing their recruitment process. You know, it's just everything's email and phone and virtual meetings now. So, and there are rules about when they can have contact and when you can visit campus and do official visits. So they have to follow those anyway. And hopefully at some point there will be real visits.
Well, and also, I mean, that's the reality of this. And thank you so much, Mary. Appreciate your time. Thanks for calling in. When kids, and I think parents too, if they've not been to the college campus before, that's a big determinant, right? Going there and feeling it and being on the campus and getting a sense if they're comfortable. That's what a lot of the college trips are about in this summer, sure. Especially for rising seniors, right? Whether they're, you know, they're going to go throughout the Midwest or they're going to go east or even to the West and see what it's like. Because every kid wants to go to Arizona State, but you can get into Arizona State any way you want. I mean, that's the thing. Speaking of that, what about online learning? I know we've had a number of texts about that. What about the online learning situation? These schools, are they going to be offering admission into some kids to be able to take part in online and then eventually on campus?
Well, I mean, obviously, if they've admitted them for fall right now, I know they're still planning and hoping that they'll be able to have the traditional move-in just like we always do. Obviously, no one has a crystal ball. We have no idea how this is going to play out and what it's going to look like. So they're going to make decisions based on, you know, what's healthy and what's best. And I don't think there'll be a universal, you know, across the board, everyone's going to do the same thing. I think it will depend, you know, on the campus, the size of the campus, where it's located, you know. It'll be very interesting. But, yeah, you know, it's one thing, this is just something that, like, my fellow counselors and I have talked about and some of the teachers in my building, having to switch to e-learning after, you know, midway through the semester is really different than starting off with e-learning, because at least you've had the kids in your classroom, you know the students, you know that, you know, you've gotten to know how they work and how they react to things and how they manage things. And so when you go to shift to e-learning, you can kind of acclimate to them because you already know the student. If you start that way, what a hard way to start the year. At the same time, I have every confidence that if that's what colleges need to do to get students, you know, going with their college courses, they will. I'm sure that all of them are hoping that even if they have to start the fall as virtual, that they hopefully at some point, maybe at fall break or something, maybe things will calm down enough, they can move in at fall break, or maybe they can move in January for second semester. Right. Maybe they'll be able to start in August. You know, who knows? But
I think there are a lot of concerns about that. Marnie, you're on WGN. You're talking to Amy Thompson. She is the president of the Illinois Association for College Admission Counseling. And if you've got a kid going to college, you're in a total freak meltdown right now. All right, go ahead, Marnie.
So my question is about deferring admission for a year. How does that affect financial aid packages?
Right. That's a good question. So you really have to ask your institution, because there is definitely not a 100% universal answer to that question. So I get to say that a lot in my job. It depends. But, you know, for the most part, if your finances don't change, the need-based aid, you know, should be similar. But the question will be sort of the merit-based money. There's merit-based money that a school could issue that's sort of automatic. If a student meets this criteria and that criteria, we're going to give them this award. That automatic merit award often will remain unless they change their criteria for the next round of applicants. And then if they offered additional, like a more competitive, you know, round of merit money, like a second round, again, that could change because it depends on the pool each year. So there is definitely not a guarantee that that aid is going to look the same. So you really do have to reach out to the school to say, you know, and usually there's an admission representative who's, you know, responsible for your child's high school. You can usually find them right on the school's website. They may even already know because they may have already contacted them and spoken with them. You can also reach out to your high school counselor who can probably help you figure out who it is. But yeah, you really have to work directly with that college to find out what that deferral would be. Understanding that if you're deferring for a year, it's considered usually a gap year, that you're not taking any other college courses. Because if you decide, oh, I don't want to go, and then you're going to take community college courses, you actually can lose all your freshman scholarships because you're no longer a freshman. You're technically a transfer student. So you really have to be very careful with what you do if you decide to defer.
Mari, okay. I hope that helped. Let's talk to...
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
Scary.
I mean, it is what it is. All right, Paula, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Paula.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a son who is going to be a senior, and I'm thinking that this might be a good time to get him some career counseling so he can go to college ultimately, or even look at colleges with an idea of the career and the college major that he'd be looking for. Do you have any recommendations, and is that a good thing to do now?
Sure. I mean, if you're, you know, every child's different, right? Some kids are very, very stressed right now, and it depends on the family situation. So, but if things are calm and things are good and their bandwidth is there to go ahead and do some of that stuff and do some future thinking. And honestly, sometimes future thinking can help ease the anxiety because they realize at some point things will be normal again. I would check with your high school to find out what resources the high school has available to you, because those are often paid for by the school, so there's not an extra charge for you. There often are a lot of great resources for that. There are college counselors or career counselors out there. You can probably look online and, you know, do some vetting to find good resources, to make sure you feel like they're good, they're qualified people. But I know, like, the Ball Foundation and Glen Ellen does all kinds of career counseling. I just don't know what they're doing right now. I haven't talked to them with all the... only essential businesses are open, things like that.
They've been having commercials on WGN Radio.
Oh, there you go.
So they must be doing virtually. Yeah, I've heard
them. They must be, yeah. They have a really great aptitude assessment. So it assesses students' natural abilities, and then they do a little bit of interest assessment and do a pretty comprehensive thing. It's a quality program. It's definitely legitimate. And there are others out there. That's just one I know because I'm in the western suburbs, and it's in the western suburbs. So,
Paula, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in. And, Amy, before we let you go, are there colleges that have announced that they're not going to be allowing students yet for the fall?
No one has announced that they are not going to be open for the fall yet that I have heard. There's been speculation, but I think it's really no one has made that decision. I would say the summer decisions only have happened I'm trying to think. So we went to emergency days and then spring break, and it was probably right around the time of our e-learning, so the very last week of March, that we started hearing some colleges were already calling summer. There are still some who haven't totally called summer even. So it really does depend on the region where they're looking. If they're more rural, that kind of thing, they might not be as concerned because they don't have as high a rate of infection. So.
Right. Well, and you never know. Yeah. I mean, but once the kids get together, there's no better place for a rate of infection than a college dorm. I can just tell you that from firsthand experience. That's if it's going to happen, if one kid gets it, everybody's going to get it eventually, especially in the
shared bathroom
situation.
There's a reason they have to get their meningitis, inoculation before they go to school. Absolutely true.
Absolutely true. All right, Amy, thank you so much. We'll probably call on you again here as we continue on here because I know that people parents are as freaked out as possible. All right, Amy,
thank
you
so
much.
Tell them to reach out to their high school counselors, okay? Because they are to help them too. Yeah.
But their high school counselors don't want to talk to them. Maybe you'll talk to them. Amy Thompson, who is the president of the Illinois Association of College Admission Counseling. Thank you so much for being with us.